Thank you so much for that song. You take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. He must have been paying attention in Sunday school. Singing that song. Thank you, sir. All right, Luke chapter 24. And we'll have just a short scripture reading here. And hopefully we'll be to where we can get into our message tonight shortly. Luke 24, the story of the two on the road to Emmaus after Christ has died. He's resurrected. If you remember, he finds these two headed back home. The Bible says he begins to reveal to them in verse 27, in beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us, while he taught with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up at the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together. And them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now, I'm going to use verse 33 as my text, and sort of a springboard. It's not really the place where we'll be for the message tonight. And I had revealed a little bit about what the message was going to be on tonight. And sometimes when you hear something like that, you think, how could somebody bring a message on something like that? But I want to preach on this thought tonight. And this will be our final thought. Because if we don't, you got to get a message, amen. If you don't come to church and get something from the Lord, you know, it's no point being here, amen. But we're going to preach on this thought tonight, where to be at judgment time. Where to be at judgment time. And hopefully the Lord will help us tonight, and we'll get through where we need to be. But it may take us a little while to get there. But sometimes you got to establish a good foundation before you can really understand what the message is all about. So you pray with me tonight. I pray and ask God before to help me. But we sure need God's grace tonight, don't we? And I know may be few in number, but we strong in the Lord. Amen. And surely the Spirit of God will be with us tonight. And touch our hearts. You bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. Father, we pray that you'd be in our midst tonight. Father, we just ask you to touch our hearts and help us, Lord. Lord, help us to get some knowledge of the Word of God, Father, here in your house. Father, we pray that we'd be fed. But Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get an understanding when we leave here. Father, of our commitment to you, Lord, and how we need to be faithful. And Father, we thank you for what you'll do tonight in each heart. And Father, I pray you'd help me. Touch me one more time, Lord, before you're soon coming. Oh, we look for you, Lord. Father, and we expect you at any time. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do, how you'll help us now tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, I had mentioned a little bit this morning that we were going to look at a specific number, being 2011 and entering into this year, on the number 11. The number 11. And numbers, no doubt, have their place in the Scripture. Numerology is a very vast area in theology and study through the Scriptures. And we know a lot of the basics, don't we? three being the Trinity, six being the number of man, seven completeness, eight grace. A lot of different numbers we've been revealed, and have seen through preaching and studying ourselves through the Word of God. But maybe we haven't looked so much at this number and that we're going to try to focus on tonight. But I will say that they do have their place in the Scriptures, and numbers are determined from placement by the from where the Holy Spirit has given them. By the inspiration of the penmen and the authors of this Bible, where the numbers are placed is no doubt by the Spirit of God and was led by the Spirit of God. And I think about this year that started, and it seemed like whenever I was a kid, and some of you older ones can understand what I'm talking about, toward the end of this last century, we was all looking for 2000, the year 2000. And what will it be like? I can remember as a kid growing up, the teachers would, give you a sheet of paper, and all the cars was flying around, and, the houses were in the sky, and it was amazing what the kids could come up with as to what was going to happen in the year 2000. But before I knew it, I was married, had a kid, one on the way, and the year 2000 was here. And now 11 more years has passed, and it seems like the older I get, the faster they're clicking off. Now here we are in the year 2011, and it seems like it would never get here. But this particular number, as I think about the year 2011, this particular number has a significant meaning through the Scriptures, and we'll discuss them today a little bit and then try to get into the conclusion toward the end of the message. But first we'll start here with our text verse, and I want us to open up the Scripture. If we don't see it in the Scripture, it really don't mean a whole lot, we need Scripture to back things up, don't we? And as we think about this 11 here, in this particular chapter and verse, it says that they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together. The Bible specifically says that there were 11 here. And this is less one than when they started, you see. This was a picture and a portrait of the judgment that has came upon Judas. Okay? As we think about the numbers before and after of 11, the number 12 marks the perfection of divine government. Divine government. We see that through the Scriptures. 12 disciples, 12 tribes, 12 patriarchs. There are 12 men commanded by God for the anointing in the Old Testament, and so on and so forth. Through the Scripture, we see 12 as divine government. And then also 10. 10 marks the perfection of divine order in the Scriptures. There were 10 nations to be a scene of Abraham's covenant possession. 10 plagues of Israel. 10 commandments given to Moses. Noah completed the Antediluvian age and the 10th generation from God. And so forth and so on. Marking divine order. And this is God's order, you see. This is not the way man has put this together. If man had to put that together, Brother Chad, this would have been a pretty jumbled up mess, you see. And these numbers no doubt would have come together like they have. But as we think about this number 11, we can only conclude that 12 being divine government, 10 being divine order, that it falls short of divine government, and it is an addition, or might we say tonight, an undoing of divine order. So 11 would be right the opposite of 10, which would be disorder. It is literally disorganization, disintegration, and judgment. Now, as we think about the number 11 throughout the Scripture, and so let's not just stop there and just conclude that because we've got an idea of number 10 and number 12 through the Scripture. But let's take this through the Scripture. First of all, we start here. This being the judgment. 11 apostles here waiting. This showing the judgment, no doubt, of Judas. And then the number as the 11 as far as the dukes of Edom in Genesis 36, 40 through 43. The dukes of Edom were 11 in number. Though closely related to Israel, was different in order from the government. While the bitterest hatred existed between the two nations, If you remember, this was the clan of Esau. They was prophesied of God to be completely annihilated. And guess what? There's not an Edomite here on this earth. They were completely annihilated, exterminated by God. But 11, if you'll go back through those scriptures, you can count them yourself. 11 in number of the dukes of Edom. God pronounced judgment upon this clan. Not only that, but there were 11 sons of Jacob. This told of the disintegration and disorganization in Jacob's family because the brothers sold Joseph into slavery and into bondage. And no doubt this was the salvation of the Lord seen in judgment as we had studied the life of Joseph and on down toward the end of that story. Joseph made it pretty clear. You meant it for my harm, but God meant it for the good. God meant it for the salvation of Israel. But what we see there is a picture of a family. I'm talking about the people of God, the people of Israel, leaving that place where God had called them to because of famine and affliction, with 11 going to a country, a heathenistic country, no doubt, for help. This was a place, a type of judgment. From Horeb we'll find to Kadesh Barnea, when the children of Israel begin to journey. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 1:2 that it was an 11-day journey, if you'll remember. And then when they got there on the 11th day, Brother James, they started trying to figure out what they was going to do. They said, well, let's send in 10 spies, and we all know what come of that. One more day journeying into that land would have carried them to the complete administration of all the wonderful laws that God had given them. They fell short of divine government being 12. They fell short of the divine government of God, the divine victory of the Lord in the promised land, and fell into divine judgment, if you'll remember, on that day. Wandering in the wilderness for 40 more years and 21 years of age and upward, dying in that wilderness and not seeing the promised land. Judgment. 11 days they journeyed. Jehoiakim, if you remember, King Jehoiakim reigned 11 years. An evil king of Israel. Not only that, you can see that 2 Kings 23:36, 34:1, 2 Chronicles 36. But Zedekiah reigned 11 years when Nebuchadnezzar had completed the work by putting an end to Israel's rule in Jerusalem, carrying them away into Babylonian captivity. So prior to that was 11 years, and Nebuchadnezzar during that time had started his work. And then the end of the 11 years of Zedekiah's reign, we find that Nebuchadnezzar finished that work and carried them away into captivity. That's 2 Chronicles 36:11. You can also see a little bit in Jeremiah 52:1. It was in the 11th year, the Bible says in Jeremiah 39:2, that the city was broken up. The 11th year. We find God's hand here again, judging the judgment of God around this number 11. It was the 11th year that Ezekiel, if you remember, prophesied against Tyre and also against Egypt during that time. In Ezekiel 26:1, 30:20, and 31:1, you'll find the stories. It was the 11th year of Zedekiah in which Jerusalem was broken up, and we had seen that through the last one as well. The threefold repetitions to impress us with the fact that Tyre and Egypt should be broken up as Jerusalem had been, and this was what he had prophesied. But it was in that 11th year that God began to pronounce judgment upon these two cities. How about the 11th hour in Matthew 26:9? This is a proverbial as being contrary alike to both what is alike, is right, in order and arrangement. Not only that, but 11 kings and rulers in the Old Testament were offended with the servants of God for telling them the truth. Pharaoh, Balak, Jeroboam, Ahab, Naaman, Asa, Joash, Uzziah, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, and also Herod, we find throughout the Scriptures. 11 kings. Not only that, but Joseph, if you remember, was in Potiphar's house at the time when Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, had tried to bring him into that a false lie and say that he had did something that he did not. 11 years he was there. If you'll do the math, it doesn't exactly say that, but he was there 30 years when he stood before Pharaoh. All you have to do is minus the 17 years of age he was when he went into bondage, minus the 2 years that he was in prison, and you'll see it was an exact 11 years that he was in that house when those things begin to take place. There were 11 judgments upon the Egyptians, if you'll remember. We think of the 10 plagues. Of course, it was. The blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the murrains, the bulls, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, the firstborn. But we also have to take into account the overthrow at the Red Sea, being the 11th judgment that God pronounced upon the Egyptians during this time. That they brought turmoil upon the children of Israel. And also we see in Genesis 10, 15 through 18, it says that Canaan, if everybody remembers him, had 11 sons. This was those who afflicted the children of Israel all their days. I mean, it was a sad thing. They were supposed to exterminate these people, and they did not. They made them to pay taxes and be servants, and because of that, it was a ruin, no doubt, of the people of Israel. But we see that Canaan begot Sidon, Heth, Jebusite, Amorite, Girgashite, Hevite, Arkite, Sinite, Arvadite, and Zemarite, and Hamathite. A lot of ites, no termites, but a whole lot of ites. 11 altogether of the sons of Canaan. You see how this number has seemed to have upon those that God pronounced judgment upon, or upon those that were centered around or happened around judgment. The number 11 through the Scripture seems to be one of relevance. There were 11 things that John saw in connection with the judgment at the white throne. He saw the great white throne, him that sat on the throne, the dead, small and great, the books open, another book was opened, the dead judged out of those, the sea gave up the dead, death and hell. Twice we see the judge, every man according to his work, and then he saw death and hell cast in the lake of fire. 11 judgments there. We find this number again. Then as a general practice in trying to find a number, if you were to go maybe to search out, go to that particular book, that particular chapter, and that particular verse. If you were to go to the 11th book, which is 1 Kings, go to the 11th chapter and then the 11th verse, you'll find this one in 1 Kings 11:11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. You see, judgment again. Judgment around that number 11. The Bible is the author of judgment to man. We see that as a whole. We're judged by the things written here in this book. Is that not right? I think it is. The sum of the numbers, if we can think, of how that 11 would play into the Scriptures. If you took the numbers 1 through 11 and you started adding each one of those, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 and so forth to 11, you'll find that that adds up to 66 books. Amen. 66 books of the Bible, 11 has a lot to play in that. The sum of the numbers there being 66, we see that God's Word in itself is judgment. You see, His Word in itself is judgment. Not only through the Bible do we find judgment, though, we find that the 11 is significant in a lot of things in our daily life. We find it significant also in war. But if we could think of one thing that we could think of that is a distress here in America, is what we call for emergency. 911. You ever thought about that? 9 plus 1 plus 1 is 11. That's our distress call. When you think about the area code out there in the Middle East and Iran, if you want to call anywhere, the first three numbers you're going to call is 119. Guess what that one is? That's 11 as well. The Islamic terrorist attack upon the country, when we think about the terrorists and the things that went on in the past several years and the war that's went on over in Iraq and Afghanistan, happened on September 11th. The Twin Towers visually looked like the number 11. How about the first airplane that exploded in the towers? It was American Airlines Flight 11. Several of the terrorists lived in the residence of London. The address that they lived at was number 11. In 1972, if you remember the Munich terrorist attack at the Olympics, there were 11 Israelis that were killed by 11 terrorists. I don't know why that number keeps popping up through that, but who knows? They might be trying to show us something. We think about, the things that was done throughout the last several years. Maybe Revelations 9:11 gives us a little bit of thought. When if you go to read Revelations 9:11, it says, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Abaddon means God of destruction. Did you know that? It means God of disorder or God of judgment. Abaddon. If you look all in the Strong's Concordance, and you look up as far as the chronological words in the Old Testament, all you have to do, if you got a program, go and put your scroll over it. You'll see that it is 11th in chronological order. It'll say H11. I don't know. Maybe you say, well, that's just coincidence. Maybe it is. It's also interesting that the Hebrew name Abaddon, obviously in there, reveals that. But we find that attachment to several other attacks is the same way. In Madrid, Spain, the train bombing, if you remember that, was on March 11, 2004. How about the two in Mumbai, the Indian train? If you remember, there was a couple of those, was on July 11, 2006. It was said and reported of those two bombings there in Mumbai that both of those explosions, they went off exactly 11 minutes apart. Now, how weird is that? That's just odd, isn't it? Hey, in 11 minutes, I want you to blow up the other one. Hey, why couldn't it? Usually somebody says even numbers, 10 or 12. Here they said 11. The Islamic founder Muhammad died in the year 632 A.D. 6 plus 3 plus 2 is 11. Hey, there are a lot of other similarities there. The date of the attack, 9-11. 9 plus 1 plus 1 being 11. September 11th is the 254th day of the year. Add 2, 5, and 4 up and you get 11. After September 11th, if you'll count them up, there are 111 days till the end of the year. The state of New York's the 11th state to be added to the Union of where it was hit. New York City has 11 letters. The two flights that were hijacked and used that day, Flight 11 and Flight 77 there, one having 9 and 2 being 11. One having 65 on board, 6 and 5 being 11. Now, I don't know how all that has lined up, but what I do know is that 11 through the Scripture has been judgment in a lot of ways. And we can see that through the Scripture, but not only that, we see that through our daily lives and the things that transpire. That 11 is a type, 11 is a picture, no doubt, and a presentation of judgment, disorder, and disintegration. More could be said regarding that number, and there was a lot more there, but I want to bring our attention back tonight. I don't have time to go over the rest of what I have, but because I didn't want it to be too lengthy in that on the number of 11, because I want to bring us back to the Scriptures tonight and let us see some things. First of all, the things that we have regarded, a few of the things that we have regarded in regards to the judgment of God around that number 11. Throughout the first part of this message. First of all, though the 11 apostles, and going back to this particular passage that you're open to tonight, though the 11 apostles were a portrait, no doubt, being 11 left of the judgment that was set upon Judas, might I say that Judas might have been in judgment, but while Judas was being judged, the other 11 were being visited by God. There were 11 more that were there, okay, that followed the Lord, that stayed with God, that stayed faithful to the Lord. And they seen the presence of the Lord in their life. Even though there was judgment there, even though one had found the judgment of God, the other had the Spirit of the Christ, very Christ Himself, visiting them. And might I say, in the trials of our faith, in the trials that are going on around us, that God will still visit us. I think about this year, how late an hour that it is in the world in which we live. And it's been said, America's going down the pots, and especially, we find in this part of the country, true revival and people being saved and people having a heart for God. It's not really something that you see a whole lot around this area. But might I say, in the midst of a dry, troublesome time, hey, we can still find the presence of the Lord and the Spirit of God and the power of God working in our life and working in our church. Even though judgment might be in the year 2011, and I assure you, I foresee a lot more judgment upon this country and upon a lot of areas in this country in this upcoming year. But you stay faithful. We stay faithful because the old devil is wanting to bring you to a position and a situation where the wrath and the judgment of God is going to come upon you this year as well. You mark it down. He's longing for that. Though the 11 apostles were there, judgment was there, but also the presence of God. And when the children of Israel were journeying to the promised land, had they not halted on the 11th day and rejected God's victory by choice, if they would have strived and pushed through the discouragement, God would have brought them to their divine government. He would have brought them to their 12th day. Might I say, let's not halt in our service toward God this year, but let's push through the 11th day and get to that 12th day. Amen. Let's get to that promised land, that place of victory this year. Hey, push through the discouragements. Push through the judgments. Push through those times. And let the presence of God work in your heart. Let's not halt in our service toward God this year, stalling in our prayer time. You know, they stalled on that 11th day, Brother James, and had that not 10 come and that discouragement hit those hearts, they'd have pressed through, I believe. But they stalled in trusting God. And let us not this year, hey, stall in our prayer time. Let's keep pressing through that prayer time, even though it may seem like the things in life are giants to us, and it seems like we're grasshoppers in their sight, and the things that we're up against with this church, with our families, with our marriages, with our children, whatever it may be, hey, it may seem like that everything is towering over us, but might I say, let's not stall in our prayer time, but press through those dry times, press through those discouraging times, and continue to petition the Lord God of heaven. Might I say, let's not stall in our devotion time, in our Bible time, in our meditation time, but let's press through those dry times, the times when it doesn't seem like God is around. Why don't you just stay a little while and just enjoy the silence? Amen. I like just enjoying silence every now and then. How about y'all? Maybe just because I'm getting a little bit older than I used to. Almost a middle-aged man now. I tell my wife, I said, we're going to be 35 in a couple of months. She said, you in a month. I said, well, you had to bring that up. But you know what? Maybe middle age, and you know, sometimes I like a little quiet time. Even though God may not be speaking, even though God may not be doing anything, let's just get alone and just sit there and wait on God. Pray to Him, read our Bible, sing a little hymn, and wait on God. Hey, when it doesn't seem like things are going to pick up, hey, just press through the discouragements this year. Press through those judgments this year. Press through those trying times this year. And let's get to our 12th day, amen. Falling under the judgment of God. Let's not find that. Let's hold fast in our confidence toward God, trusting Him to get us through to our Canaan land this year. Amen, amen. They'll say amen all together. That way I know you're still out there listening. Israel had to go through evil King Jehoiakim. Think about this. 11 years for Jehoiakim. They had to go 11 years through Zedekiah only to get to 70 years captivity in Babylon. Hey, think about this, friends. Sometimes we have to go through the fire just to get to the fire, to where God is going to be purging us. You see, Miss Lisa, it wasn't in the times of Zedekiah and in the times of Jehoiakim that the children of Israel started saying, let's get right. You see, if it was, they would have answered the call to Jeremiah and said, you're right. We don't need to go down to Egypt to try to find some type of alliance. We don't need to try to go to this one. We don't need to try to do it ourselves. But we need to fall and rest upon the mighty hand of God to bring us through this. But they didn't say that, you see. They might have been going through the fire for 22 years. Hey, but friend, they had to go through that fire to get to the real fire, the purging fire. And it was in Babylon that God began to deal with hearts. It was in Babylon that God began to purge them from their disobedience and sinfulness against God. Sometimes God's going to have to, this year in 2011, He's going to have to bring a little bit of judgment to bring you to a place, a trying time, a trying fire. where you can get purged from some of those things you see, some of that rebellion in our heart, some of that disobedience in our heart. He's going to have to bring us sometimes to that fire we need. Sometimes we'll have to even go through trying times just to get there. But let's press through those things. Press through those times. Hey, let's get through that judgment time this year. Hey, stay right with God. Hey, think about this. They didn't have to even go that way. It was the children of Israel's hearts. It was the king's hearts that had turned away from God. Was it not? I mean, all they had to do was turn to God and say, Lord, You're right and we're wrong and we need to do what You say. They knew that was God's man that was prophesying those things to them. All they had to say was, Lord, You're right and I'm wrong. I would ask you this year, is that going to be a problem for you? You know, you say, well, I don't think it will be, Brother Shoemaker. Well, the way some of us has acted this past year, the way the things some of us has done, the things we have not done, the service that we have not committed ourselves to, the slackness upon our parts has said different. And that we are openly in our actions saying toward God, Lord, we don't want all of You. We just want enough to appease our conscience. This year, will you give everything to Him? Will you allow Him to have everything? Will you allow Him to have all of you and turn to Him and say, God, with our whole heart, we do want this so that you don't have to go through those fires and nobody likes going through them. But sometimes God has to bring us that way. There are a lot of people that don't go through a lot of things that others go through simply because they stay right with God. And their hearts are centered upon the Lord and they stay obedient to God. I would ask us, might I say in this year, we don't have to fight against the Lord and submit ourselves to the flesh, but let's knit our hearts together with God, steer away from judgment, and go straight into obedience and subjection under the authority of God. Can we do that this year? Is that your goal? Is that your vision as you've started this year? Let's start it off right, but let's finish right. Amen? Hey, if you don't start right, you can't finish right. But there's a lot of people I've seen start right and not finish right. If you start right, if you don't press through, you don't go through those trying times, you don't make it through, you let the discouragement get you, you let those things get you this year, hey, some of you, it's not going to end right. I want to see all of you right here at the end of the year. I want to see us all right here and more. I want to see more here, but I don't want to lose any that's been coming and committed to church and committed to the things of God. I don't want you to be lost this year, you see. 2011 being judgment, let's not get caught in the judgment this year. Let's not get consumed by the fire, you see. I think about those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was thinking about this when I was doing this message. How that they trusted God and believed God. You know, if they had went halfway, Brother James, they'd have been burned up in that fire. They went all the way. They said, God, we'll go through the fire if it takes that. They said, there's that fourth man walking with them in the fire. You want God with you through this year, through these judgments. You're going to have to give yourself completely to the Lord. 2011 might mean judgment for a lot of people. And we're going to fight. Find ourselves fighting against the flesh this year. I promise you, you will. Let's not fall into the wrath of God. We don't have to. Don't allow your flesh to make you bitter, angry, and give you opportunity for the spirit, evil spirits to oppress you. Stay with God and pray, pray, pray. Give your hearts to God. Allow Him to have full control of you this year. Allow Him to take your life and use you. Hey, 2011. 11's not one of the best numbers in the Bible, you see. Y'all thought, boy, He's going to bring out something good, great about the number 11. 11's not one of the greatest numbers in the Bible. Wait till next year, amen. Divine government. But in a year, no doubt, in a country that's probably going to be disorderly, disorganized, we're going to find the judgment of God coming down. Those around us. But might I say, let's stay, keep clean.
Amen.
Keep clean. Let's not fall with the ones that want to fall. Let's not leave with the ones that want to leave. But let's stay with God. Stay with God. Stay obedient to the Lord. Stay right in your heart and do what you know is right. And no doubt we'll have success this year. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wasn't going to be long tonight, and I didn't. Maybe you say, Brother Shoemaker, I want God to do something in my life this year. Well, you need to get with God about that. You need to get with God and trust the Lord this year for your life, your heart, your family, your ministry. You need to trust God for you and for yours. Hey, and I know that there'll be people praying for you this year, and I trust there'll be people praying. I trust you're going to pray for me. But this year, if it's a year of judgments, God, keep me from the wrath of God. I don't want that wrathful hand of the Lord against me and my family. I don't want it. God, keep my heart. I wonder, can you say that tonight, Lord? Keep my heart and help us to steer away from the judgment, from the wrathful hand of God. Help us to steer away from that. We don't want to go through all those fires, and there'll be a lot you can miss if you heed to this message tonight. And you start accepting it by faith. And this year, you just have the boldness and audacity to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. I need you to strengthen me, empower me to live right, live holy, and clean before you and before men. Father, we pray that you bless this invitation time tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd touch these hearts that are here. Father, help us now as a people tonight. God, to come to you, Lord, believing and trusting you. Lord, we'll praise you for all that you'll do. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As she plays, maybe you'd like to come and pray. These altars are open for you. If you'd like to come, you can.